Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Former prosecutor Renato Mariotti is here, as promised, and we've been talking about how the courts handle this kind of thing, how the courts and the justice system handle crime in general in Chicago. And Kim Fox had a rather defensive news conference today. I just want to ask you, Renato, did you get a chance to hear what she had to say?
You know, I saw news reports, but I did not listen live. So you'll have to get me on up to speed in terms of their specific statements.
Her concern was, don't point fingers. Let's work together at a time like this. We're dealing with multiple things at the same time. We've got the murder of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and people who are looking for social justice reform and maybe not seeing movement as quickly as they wanted to see it and don't feel as if it's being taken seriously. Then you have a pandemic combined with economic depression and a lack of opportunities. So she went into all that. I think the piece of it, though, where she lost me was this whole idea, and you just heard Alderman Riley talk about it, where people the police are picking up some of the guys that are causing the crimes in the neighborhoods and repeatedly doing so, and that they're going to bond court and that they end up out back on the streets. You heard the Chicago Tribune had that report today about how 30% of felony cases get dropped in her office, and that is a substantial increase over the past.
Yeah, two very important points that I think are distinct. So let's talk first about the Tribune report, which I think is important. I read it today, and I saw the numbers, and they are significant. It's a big change over Anita Alvarez, for example, the prior state's attorney. Essentially, what's happened in Kim Fox's office is a change in how, you know, their exercise of prosecutorial discretion. They're deciding that a broader array of cases should not be charged. And so, for example, they're essentially creating higher standards for their cases and saying, you know, there's a significant percentage of it, look like particularly narcotics cases, where they're saying we're not going to prosecute those anymore. Either maybe they're demanding a higher amount of evidence. Maybe they're demanding, the defendant have a particular background or a larger quantity of drugs. But nonetheless, they're making the decision they want to prosecute less. They want to decline more cases.
Less of the drug cases, but the Tribune also found that higher rates of drop cases included people accused of murder, shooting another person, sex crimes, attacks on police officers, and violent crimes than in the past.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Here's what I would say, and I did see that. I just noted that when I looked at the statistics as a broad stroke, there was a dramatic change in narcotics. But yes, it included all sorts of cases. What I would say is a couple of things. On one hand, I will say that speaking as somebody who's been who is a prosecutor for almost a decade and has been a defense lawyer since then, you know, the state's attorney's office here has had a bad reputation for taking on cases that it can't win. Cases that probably shouldn't have been brought in the first place. So it could be, some of that can be them just doing a better job or just making a decision that they want to be more careful with bringing cases, because the more resources, the more cases you take, the more resources you're putting towards cases that you can't win. That could be a problem. On the other hand, Kim Fox came into that job with and made a lot of campaign promises about changing the way policing was done. And a big part of that was, prosecuting fewer cases. Now, particularly in nonviolent crimes, we see that in narcotic cases, but you're right, even in violent crimes. And I think those are legitimate questions. And I think more study has to be done in those cases to really see what's happening. And I think she has to answer. I think people have a right to know what the change is there and how is that impacting our city. I think those are legitimate questions.
Renato, can you hang on? If we have to pause for the news, but
sure.
I have something I got to ask you afterwards. If you have a few extra minutes for us, because there's something else going on here too. It seems as if
the bond court thing.
Yes, so much going on today. It's hard to make sense of a lot of it. Let's go back to Renato Mariotti, former federal prosecutor. We're looking at the bond court situation. Okay, this is something that comes up continually about Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox's record. It came up with the mayor and the police superintendent this morning. They didn't name her, but they said we have to hold people accountable. The courts and the prosecutors have to make sure they're held accountable. And one of the accountability measures has been bonding out people with violent crimes on their record. Renato, what can you tell us about what you're seeing as you take a look at the what's going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like I said, distinct issue from the first one, although there is a connection because, of course, Kim Fox came into office suggesting that she was going to reform policing and law enforcement, and part of that was going to be prosecuting fewer of certain types of cases. Another was going to be looking at bail in a different fashion. Look, a lot of people think that we had too many people who were incarcerated pre-trial. In other words, before they actually came up to trial, because, and it's an expensive thing for taxpayers. It costs a lot of money. People are in jail waiting for years for their trial. They're not productive members of society and so on. The issue, of course, as you pointed out, if people have violent records or if they're, particularly if they're alleged to have committed a violent offense, they could be a danger to the community. And so I guess what I would say is this is a very difficult question, particularly during these times, because, right now courts are clogged with petitions from people who want to get out of prison because they're scared for their lives due to the pandemic. And so right now in particular, judges are, erring against incarcerating people, even when it comes to their final sentence after a case. So, in this time in particular, I can see why they're erring on the side of letting people out. I could see that consideration. But obviously, as you point out, we have to protect the community. And the two main reasons why people are incarcerated pretrial is because either they're a danger to the community or a flight risk. And if they are a danger, not just sort of stealing something, but actually hurting people, for example, acting in a violent manner towards another individual, they should be incarcerated.
Another thing, Renato, that the Tribune found, though, is that you were putting out a lot of those people on home monitoring, so you get the ankle bracelet, right? Because for the exact reasons you said, putting people in the jail at a time when there's a pandemic, a virus outbreak, judges were reluctant to do that. So they put them on this home monitoring. You're supposed to go home and not leave your home, I guess, except for specific sort of circumstances, that kind of thing. People who are cutting these off, and she's also not going after them, is what the Tribune found. It was something like out of 466 cases she went over in the last few months, she went after only a few of them. Her office didn't take those things seriously either. Does that make you sort of shrug yourself?
I'm going to tell your listeners something that is either a secret or it's not a secret to them, which is that this city simply does not have the resources in our system. Does not have the resources right now that it needs to do almost anything properly. And particularly now as things are more strained and we're dealing with all these crises at once, I'm not surprised that we don't. And the reality of the situation is that the pretrial monitoring services, the electronic monitoring services, I suspect, could not handle the sheer numbers of people who are suddenly being put on that. I will tell you that in my experience, those systems are people generally comply with electronic monitoring, and there's a relatively limited number of cases and dedicated staff who are dealing with that. I can only imagine if those double or triple or quadruple or more, and I don't know the numbers, but I would imagine it's got to overwhelm that system. And I suspect that in addition to dealing with people who are skipping out on their electronic monitoring, my guess is there's probably an increase in other types of crime that the state's attorney has to deal with. And even in a good time, the state's attorney's office is usually overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of our system, and it's an unfortunate thing that all of us as citizens and taxpayers have to deal with.
Yeah, there's no question that's an issue. Hey, I want to ask you, Renato, also about the Operation Legend. We had an earlier caller even ask about this. How are the feds, them being here in that role, that sort of support role, is this going to make a difference and help ease some of the burden off the police?
Well, I mean, it helps. It doesn't hurt in that they are working on larger long-term investigations, you know, more than they're working, I think, on things that are, they're not like policing the streets or doing crowd control or riot control, but they're helping with investigations. They provide additional resources in, to investigate, you know, crimes that are being committed by people who may be engaged in, likely engaged in ongoing criminal activity. So there can be an impact, but let's not overstate it either. In other words, it's not going to, you know, change everything or, you know, get away, get rid of crime in the city, but it'll have some modest impact.
Are you concerned about what you're seeing here, Renato? I mean, how would, just talk to me as somebody who I know, you know, you've done a lot and become very successful in your life and you didn't come from much and in this city has helped you. It's been your place like it's been my place to sort of make your way in the world. And I love this city. I am very concerned about where we are right now.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, it's very hard for me because as a lawyer, I'm trying to distinguish for you between, for example, money damage and property damage and a person's life. But I will tell you, as somebody, I mean, my parents, you know, didn't graduate from high school. And, you know, for my dad, he owned his little barber shop, and that was the world to him. And if that place was destroyed, it would have devastated our family. And I can only imagine. There are so many shop owners and people, small business owners who are dealing with destruction. There's people who are afraid to go out. There are people who, you know, my law office is closed today because people couldn't even get to our office. So it's a difficult time in the city. And I got to tell you, it is a difficult time for everybody. I feel like everyone is struggling right now. We're all in that together, but we desperately need a new path here.
I feel the same. My dad was a tavern owner. There's no way. I mean, there'd be nothing coming in right now. Devastation is what so many people are feeling at this moment, and for so many reasons, and we need to listen, and we need to make smart decisions to help each other and get out of this. I appreciate your thoughts, Renato. I don't know what else there is to say at this moment, but I always like to hear from you weighing in on these kinds of issues. So thanks for the time this afternoon. That's Renato Mariotti, former federal prosecutor.